Morning, church. God bless you guys. It's nice to see everybody this morning. I pray that you woke up feeling good this morning and that your bones are not aching too much and that the cold is not too deep in your spirit. It's a little chilly out there for me. It's funny, it can be 0 degrees and I'm fine, but when it warms up into the 30s, it's very uncomfortable. I don't understand that. Can someone help me with that? Maybe it's the expectation of spring. I'm not sure, but it feels cold to me today, so hopefully we can be together today and warm each other up just a wee bit. Well, God bless you and good morning. If you're a visitor with us today, welcome. I'm David Black, I'm the preaching minister here, and I am so honored that you've come to share some time with us, and I hope that I get to meet you. If I don't know who you are, I see a few faces I don't recognize out there. I really want to talk with you afterwards just to be able to shake your hand and say thank you for coming. And introduce yourself. So if you're a visitor here, first of all, know that you're very welcome. If you have any questions about anything, just poke the person next to you and ask. And don't be afraid to do that. I know it's a little quiet in here at times, but don't feel like this is a holy quiet. This is a quiet because we're trying to listen to what's going on. But if you have a question, feel free to ask it, because we really want you to be comfortable and very welcome here today. And we are honored that you're here. I do have one very short announcement. I want to invite you to pray with me about something. First of all, let me say that what I'm about to tell you, I want to ask you humbly to keep it off of social media for a lot of obvious reasons. But Caleb and Christina Meeks got an update from the country, Tanzania, this past week. And they have been officially completely kicked out of country. The term used was something like an unwanted entity. So you can imagine how painful that would be when you've invested time and energy and life to learn language and all the investment they've made to the people there. Their stuff is still there. They don't even have a right to be a tourist. So it's a pretty devastating blow to the entire team. They're trying to pray and seek God's wisdom with what's coming next. Social media is bad because Tanzanians have social media and they will follow what's going on. And we want to make sure that we keep that in-house. But please be praying specifically for Caleb and Christina Meeks and for the whole team that is in Tanzania, as they say. So if you would join with me, let's offer a word of prayer for them right now. Father, we want to lift up the Meeks and the whole team today, Lord God. You know exactly what they need. You know what is being done in the country. You know the leaders that are rising up. You know exactly, and I believe with my heart, Lord, that you are steering the ship and that you are in control of it. And so, Father, I pray that you would calm the feelings of the Meeks as they feel the rejection, I'm sure, of all that's going down and feel the lostness of what's next, trying to seek your face, whether to go to a different part of Africa, to a different kind of mission work, to stay at home, to pursue education. I'm sure there's so many things on their mind and their heart. And I just pray, Father, that you would give them extreme clarity. Allow them to know what you desire for them next. And Father, for the people of Tanzania, I pray, Lord, that you would bless them. Father, for the Christians who have developed their faith over these few years, Lord, I pray that they would become stronger because of the absence of the Meeks and the team. I pray, Father, that you would meet them there, that you would encourage them, and that they would be bold in their faith, Lord, and that they would become leaders of the churches there. Lord, we just lift up that whole situation. Father, you know what's best, and we place it in your hands. We ask humbly that you would do a mighty work in spite of all the players, Lord. We know that this is your work, and so we lift it up to you, and we ask that you would take care of it. And Lord, most importantly to our hearts, Lord, for Caleb and Christina and their children, Lord, bless them right now. Give them comfort and encouragement through this time of transition. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What if spring journey? You've got your insert. There's a blank at the top again. I'm going to do this again this week and probably next week as well. The name of the person that you're going to invite to come with you. Research shows that a lot of people, 80 or 90% of people, would come to church with you if you invited them. How many of you have invited someone this week? Don't raise your hand. Feel it in your spirit. Because I know, if you're like me, it's real easy to go, oh yeah, I probably should do that. And we don't think about it. So I want you to write the name of the person, either A, that you invited this week, and then pray for them this week. Or the person you're going to invite this week. And here's what I want you to do. If you invited someone or if you have someone in mind, I want you to take some of these cards with you. Take one or two. I've made about 150, and I've got plenty. We can print more. They're going to be back there in a bowl of chocolate. Did you hear what I said there? A bowl of chocolate. Everybody go, ah, right? If you invited someone this week, I want you to take one of these and give it to that person as a second invite and take a piece of chocolate because you did what you promised. And there are Dove promises in there, okay? If you did not invite someone this week, do not take any chocolate. And God is watching the bowl, okay? If I see your hand in the chocolate, I'm going to say, awesome, who did you invite? And you better have an answer, okay? But I want you to take a piece of chocolate. Now, if you don't like chocolate, take it anyways and feel like it's a gift and give it to someone, okay? Because I want you to have the feedback, like we talked about. Changing habits need a cue, need an action, and need a reward. The cue was the name last week. The action was who you invited. And the reward is a piece of chocolate. I know it's simple, but it really works, okay? I want you to take that to heart. And those of you who forgot this week, take one of these cards and use it as your invitation, all right? It's basically asking some questions that we're going to look at during our campaign time. It's going to be 8 weeks starting on Easter Sunday. Everybody goes to church on Easter, okay? And the back has generic information about the church, so you can write a little note on there. There's a lot more white space on there. But just give one of these to whoever you invited and say, hey, I just wanted to make sure you knew where the church was. And don't forget, it starts next week, 9:30. The dates time are on the back. And then next week, guess what? You get another piece of chocolate. All right? And I want that to be very, very serious. This is real important. I want us to invite people. I think that is one gap we have. We have a really great fellowship. When people come to visit us here, they feel very welcomed and very loved because we're a great group of folks. And we love each other. And I think that's wonderful. I don't know if we invite very well. So I want to challenge you this week. Write it down and do something about it. Put a name on your list. That's the first fill in the blank today, is who you're going to invite or who you're going to invite again. If they said yes, remind them. If they said no, say, well, if you change your mind, here's a card. Or you can invite another person, either one as you see fit. All righty? Everybody understand? Say yes. All right, very good. And also for the life group scenario, please, please, please join. I know many of our families are not a part of a life group. I want to ask you to join for 8 weeks. There's no commitment. At the end of the 8 weeks, when we're done with this spring journey, you have complete permission to just go, okay, I need to go back to what I was doing before, and that is perfectly okay. But I want to ask you to suck it up and tighten the reins and dive a little deeper for 8 weeks. It means another appointment during the week. There'll be a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday night, whatever life group you end up joining will meet. And I want you to join it and take advantage of this time. It's 8 weeks. That's all that we're doing. And then we'll be on a much more loosey-goosey schedule. Summer, everybody's traveling. Everything's a little different, okay? So for the next 8 weeks, starting this week, it's hard to invite someone to a life group and then not show up yourself, all right? So let's follow through with it. Show up, have a life group in mind, join it, let them know you're coming, and invite someone to come with you, okay? All right. Now, God has heard all of this, and I hope that you'll feel the pressure to do that because this is really, really important. All right, I want to set us up today with a video clip that kind of undergirds, in my opinion, the entire theme of Philippians that we're going to wrap up today. Go ahead and push play.
This might hurt, it's not safe, but I know that I've got to make a change. I don't care if I break, at least I'll be feeling something. Cause just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of life. I don't wanna go through the motions. I don't wanna go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside.
Take me all the way. Take me all the way. Take me all the way.
want you to think about this. When we invite God to fill us up, we're talking about Philippians. And when we are filled up with God, when God indwells us, it changes everything. He calls us to higher standards. He wants us to break through our ceiling. If you got your fill in the blank, I'm going to go through this in about a minute and a half. This is a review of everything we've talked about on one piece of paper. And I want you to be able to take that home with you. When we leave here, I want you to remember, what is Philippians all about? It's about breaking boundaries, breaking barriers, going beyond what we're capable of as God fills us. If you want to break through the barriers, fill up with your God. Breaking free of the ceilings, the things that hold us back, the things that limit us in the world. Going through the motions being one of those. Breaking free of that by filling up with our God. We talked about several skills and practices. One was the idea of balance, pursuing both sides. Remember, Philippe Petit, he doesn't walk across that without having something that reaches both sides. It gives him a balance. We need to understand there's conservative and liberal. There's yellow, black, white, and orange, and red, and old and young, and all these different types of personalities, and extroverts and introverts. And all of us are in God's image. And together with both sides, with all sides, we find the center line. And then our attitude, we have to take on and we have to give up. We have to take on service. We have to do the hard things, pour ourselves into the rough spots on purpose. And then we have to give up trust in ourselves. Who cares that you have a degree? Who cares that you look beautiful? Who cares that you're taller, stronger, faster, smarter? Give it up and let God be the power that moves it. And then we have to stand fast. On one hand, we have to press on to a standard that is much greater than anything we can attain. And that is God's standard. There is one. And it is a high one. It is a perfection standard. And we must press on to God's standard, but never lose ground with what we've already attained. We press on to God's standard, but we have to live up to our own standard. These are skills that if we work on them through the power of God, we'll bust through our ceilings. We'll become more what God will be. And we'll fill up with our God. And that's the core of what Philippians is about. Today, we're going to wrap it up with this. What do we do to wrap it all up? How do we survive when we've done all these things and we're tired? And we just don't know how to go farther forward. And I think that Paul gives us a very unique insight. And the three blanks are very simple. Kneel down to pray, look up to dream, and rejoice always, no matter what. Kneel down, look up, and rejoice. We think to ourselves, you know, it's really great that all these skills, and I want to try to have a good attitude, and I know someone is angry with me, and I'm just going to love them in spite of it. And we get ourselves ramped up, and we want to do these things, and we just don't want to do them. And then we get tired. Or we tried it 5 times and 7 times and 7 times 70 times. And we think to ourselves, when does it end? When do I break through? And we feel ourselves wear down. One little thing can just eat us alive. I remember a few months ago, I ran in a hurry to get to the church building. 12, 13, 14 minute drive. I show up. I go to the door. That particular time, Maria was not here. Michael was not here. And I didn't have my key. I'm like, where is my key? And I just go on the door. It's closed. I go out to my car. I figure maybe it slid off, fell into the, because I had the key to the car. Surely I had the key to the church somewhere. And I looked around for it. And looked, you know, 4 or 5 minutes goes by. I'm cold. I'm uncomfortable. I can't find the key. Now I'm really late to some stuff I need to get done. So I run all the way back home. And on the way home, I get 2 phone calls. And I make a phone call. And I deal with some things. I walk in the door. I take care of some stuff that about the phone call. Leave out the door. Come back to the church. And guess what? I still forgot my keys. I thought, ah! Okay, I'm going to make it good. I'm just going to go Panera Bread. I'm going to study. My Bible was in my office. My folder was in my office. My notes was in my office. I'm beginning to think my keys are in my office. And I think just that one little thing, as all, if I just had my key, all this would be easy. But for some reason, all these other things aren't getting done because of that one little thing. Little things make a big difference. Those of you who are mothers especially, you wake up, you work all day, you get exhausted, you go to bed, you wake up and do it all again. And then the next day, you do it all again. And you get a little less sleep, and then you do it all again. And it's over and over. The laundry piles, the food comes on, the children always need you. You're sick, doesn't matter. And you think, when will it end? I need a break. How do I survive this? Or maybe you're in a situation at work where you're working so hard, you're doing your absolute best work, and the best projects you put out there, the boss kind of goes, eh. And you think, oh my goodness, that's the best I have. How am I supposed to move up in the world? How am I supposed to get that promotion or do the thing I need to do to provide for the new child that's coming? And you feel the stress because that is the best you have, and it just doesn't really add up. And the struggle and the frustration of that. You get tired of fighting. You want to make up with this friend, and every time you do something, it ends up being more complicated. And you just want to throw your hands up. Because you've got the right attitude, and you're engaging in all the things that we've learned about. You're trying to let go of what you deserve and ought to. You really want to smack them down, but you're choosing not to. You really want to just walk away, but you're choosing to dive in instead. And you're thinking about all these standards and a struggle after struggle, or fear, or anxiety, or panic attacks. On and on it goes. The Bible has something to say about this. When we hit that wall, when we get to the place that we don't know exactly how to break through, how do we deal with it then? At the end of our rope. Philippians, I think the premier part of the entire book is to answer that question. If you got your Bible, turn to Philippians 4. I know most of us here, many of us are here, I should say, are Christians. You already love Jesus. You've already committed your life to him. And I want to ask you to never leave church without something to do during the week. If I fail to give it to you, find your own. Never leave without something to do, okay? And I'm going to give you an assignment today. Philippians 4. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, which will be up on the screen. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true. This is stand firm. Remember, we talked about a military town. This is a military term. Stand firm. Don't retreat. Hold your ground. Stand firm to the Lord, he says. I love you and I long to see you, dear friends. For you are my joy and the crown that I receive from my work. Paul is saying, I've been teaching you and loving on you from afar, and I just think you're precious. And I'm about to give you something so important to hear. To be outstanding is another good military word. You must first be upstanding. In order to be upstanding, you have to stand up. Paul's about to say, I need you to stand up. I've been giving you all this advice, but now this is my dear brothers and says, I love you so much. Hear me. Listen what he says here. Now I appealed to Euodia and Syntyche. Euodia means smells good. She's fragrant, I guess. And Syntyche means good fortune. Both positive words. Maybe significant in the context. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. Now, many commentators believe that Paul has waited the entire book to get to this one point. There's struggle in the church. There are factions. There are problems. And it's not from people who are sinful or broken or angry. It's not like that. Listen to what he says. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement. Most people believe this is Clement of Rome. The church, the Catholic Church, calls him the third pope or the second pope, depending on who you're talking to. He wrote a letter that many people have stapled to their Bible in the first century. Really significant guy, a great read. And these ladies worked along with him and Paul and Peter. And they were a part of this really urgent reality of the new church. And the rest of my co-workers, he says, whose names are written in the book of life. These ladies are going to heaven. They are on fire for the Lord. They love each other. They love us. We love them. All things are good. Please, for the sake of all things that are right, work it out. This is not a doctrinal issue. This is something where personalities have gotten involved. Maybe they're leaders in some way. Maybe there's a struggle. Maybe there's a way it ought to be done. You know what? I think it was. I think they had the first church built and they were arguing over colors of the carpet. I am convinced. that that is what's going on here. Ladies, please, he's saying. Please, think about the big picture here. Don't forget it. Suzugi is the word for loyal yoke fellow here. And a lot of people think that this is a name of a guy. Like a Suzuki car is kind of like what it sounds like. A very loyal car, maybe. It's kind of interesting to think about. So you're not sure whether this is like a Timothy Titus personality he's writing to specifically, or whether he's just using a descriptive term. Hey, you loyal yoke person, whoever you are, help me with these ladies. Most likely it sounds like a person because it's very specific and he gives two names. He says, help these women. And then I want you to think about this. He's basically referencing back in chapter 2 when he says that your attitude should be the same as, you should agree with the attitude of Jesus, who in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But remember, he poured it all out, poured himself into a servant, became obedient to death on a cross. Your attitude should be like that. He uses the same word. Ladies, your attitude should be like this. You should get along. You should work this out by doing all the things that I've talked about this entire book. This is about church struggle. We are in a major time of transition at Church in the Falls. Major time. We are adding a second service that is completely different from our tradition in August. We have changed the way our community looks. We've added chairs where pews once were. Lots and lots of changes. And there's still many more to follow. And there's a lot of opportunity for us to be like these two ladies and to not like it. Not a doctrinal issue. We're not standing up because we believe the Bible says one thing over another. We just don't like it. Or do like it. Or some combination. I want to challenge you to fill up with God. To take on the attitude of Jesus. To learn to agree with one another. I think we have a great fellowship here. And I think this is important to keep in mind. The more we transition, the rawer our feelings will get. The tighter we come. Can you imagine what it would be like if our little fellowship suddenly had 300 visitors? And everybody came to know the Lord and all the different opinions came into the church? How do we deal with that? This is how we have to deal with that. We have to start with the right attitude and move on. But what happens when we hit the wall and we're just tired of the attitude? And this is what he's getting at. This is the next part. And I really want you to focus here. Listen to these words. Starting in verse 6. I'm going to jump over some passages and come back to it. But down in verse 6. There are 6 commands here. And there's an actual way to write commands in Greek. One of them is don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. 2 commands. Don't worry, pray. Don't worry about anything, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. That's the idea of kneeling down before God. When all else fails, kneel. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace, the peace of God, that's when you're filling the blanks, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. There's another military term. He's saying, you know what it's like, you're military folks. You guard what's valuable. Guess what? The peace of God will guard you. It's almost like this. If you can imagine an umbrella of peace, just imagine you pray and suddenly the peace of God comes over your house. That's pretty cool, right? And he says that it's going to guard. So this is a Teflon-coated umbrella. It's bulletproof. And things are coming from the sky, but guess what? It's just shrapnel bouncing off because the peace of God is guarding your mind and your heart in Christ Jesus. This is a passive thing that you get to enjoy and experience. In fact, he says you don't even understand it. It's beyond your ability to understand, but just trust me. When you kneel before God, the peace that passes all understanding that you can't fathom will come upon you. And it will get you through the time when you don't know what else to do. First thing we do is kneel. We kneel. Kneel down and God meets us there. Verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Here's another command. Fix your thoughts, focus, he says. Focus on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Think about things that are excellent, worthy of praise. When I was in the Boy Scouts, anybody remember this Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent, right? Everybody repeat that with me. I'm just joking. Remember, anybody, a Boy Scout? Who's a Boy Scout in here? You remember that, right? It was a way to focus. It was a way to say, okay, these are important qualities that a scout has. And many people believe, since some of these words Paul uses here are only found in this verse, that he is appealing to a military code, to a military town. In which he says, hey guys, service before self, excellence in all you do, he might say to an Air Force person. God is all about that stuff. And anything that is in those genres, you do that stuff. That's important. So he's focusing on beyond the problem, taking care of yourself. In other words, if you are not growing internally, you have no hope of growing your relationship with other people. We have no hope of engaging these differences in our church or the people that we work with or our spouses or our children if we're not first dealing with ourselves with these great, admirable, lovely, pure, honorable, right things. Dwell on them. Think about them. In other words, we kneel down to pray and we look up to things above, godly things, and dwell on them. As if these values are all around us. Remember the song that he referenced in chapter 2? Paul's doing a lot of memory. Almost to say, you guys know the words to the song. Sing along with me. Let me remind you, this is what Jesus is all about. And then he gives them a military code. And don't forget, God's all about those things. Focus on those things. Those are godly things. And if you've seen us do any of those godly things, guess what? Do it with us. Practice, imitate, follow. Do whatever it takes to get it done. Verse 9. Keep putting into practice. That's another command. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace, here's your fill in the blank, God of peace will be with you. God's literal presence will be with you in a special way. The Spirit already indwells us. These are godly people, right? God is saying through Paul that not only am I going to be with you in the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to come with you in a whole different way. Almost like I'm going to walk beside you. I'm going to help carry you. Remember the footprints in the sand poem that we used to read about? Where you wonder what happened to God? He's like, oh, no, no. The reason there's only two footprints is because I was carrying you because you fell. There used to be two and now there's one, right? And it's the image of God is with you. He's walking with you. He is coming up beside you. You have nailed down. You've looked up. And then the last thing we're going to talk about is rejoice. And when we focus on those three things, God is with us in a special and unique way. Verse 4, we're going to jump back to verse 4. He starts the whole section saying this, always be full of joy in the Lord. I want to say it again, rejoice. That's a command. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. That's another command. Let everyone see that you're considerate in all that you do. Remember that God is coming soon. He is with you. Another fill in the blank is bad is good. When God is guard. Say that with me. Bad is good when God is guard. See, if God is with you, if you're walking with God, and he is with you because you have kneeled down and you've looked up and you've rejoiced in all things, what you're saying is, I don't have anything left, God. I'm just dump it out here. I am tired. And God says, I know. And the peace that passes understanding guards your heart and mind. And he comes up alongside of you and walks with you in a supernatural, special, even beyond the Holy Spirit kind of way. That's what I read here. And don't we need that? It's kind of the fake it till you make it concept. I don't know how I'm going to get through, but God's going to carry me and I'm going to get to the other side and then I'll really be what I want to be. I'll really break that ceiling. But until I get over there, God's going to have to carry me across. And I'm just trusting him. And how do we get God's attention? We kneel down. We look up and we rejoice. God, I know you're doing something great here. I don't know what it is and I don't like it, but I submit to you. I just want to know what you wanted me to do and I'm just going to go wherever you tell me to go and just help me because I don't know what else to do. Can you relate to that, church? Have you ever been to a place where you just don't know what to do next? Kneel down, look up, and rejoice always. See, prayer is kind of a form of belief. When we kneel down, we're believing something. But when we look up and we begin to order our lives around these godly qualities, that's effort. And when you mix that belief with effort, that's what we call faith. It's in the process of kneeling down, looking up, and rejoicing that God gets into our spirit and we become faithful. And the blood of Jesus washes our sins and we begin to become, with ever-increasing glory, what God has designed us to be. And it's so simple. I mean, we want a good attitude. We want to work these things, absolutely. But there are times that we just get worn out. And sometimes all we have left is to go into the closet, to go to our knees, to look up, and to say, God, help me. I don't know where else to go. And he will. Together, that is faith. This week, when you feel at your wits' end, they'll be somewhere. I guarantee you. God will bless you with such a time. I want to challenge you to literally do that. Now, if you're in public and you do this, someone's going to look at you funny. I understand that. But you can get away with this. In your heart, take a knee. And then look up at the birdies. Maybe hold your hands up like this and rejoice. And say, God, I don't know what to do right now. I am overwhelmed. If you can do it in your house, if you're private, I encourage you, literally, take a knee, look up, and rejoice. And say, God, help me. I don't know what else to do. And I guarantee you, the posture alone will change your spirit. God will meet you there, and he will get you over the hump. And tomorrow will be a new day by that simple process. Repeat this after me. When you don't know how to live God's ways, kneel down, look up, and rejoice always. Let that sink in. When you don't know how to live God's ways, kneel down, look up, and rejoice always. Now that rhymes. So that means you can remember it, right? Let's say it one more time. When you don't know how to live God's ways, that's awesome. Say it one more time with me. When you don't know how to live God's ways, kneel down, look up, and rejoice always. That is a secret to life. It's the secret sauce of faith. It's something that is so powerful because it is humble. It is saying, God, I have nothing left. And God smiles and he says, yes, I got him right where I want him. Think about that. When you know you can't do anything and something happens, who gets the glory? God does. When you think you might can do it and you're chugging along like the little engine that could, I think I can, you might just can. And God will not get as much glory as when you hit the wall and you say, I have nothing left. I don't know where to go, what to do. Help me. And he does. That's when you get the lump in the throat. That's when you sit back and go, whoa, God is real. Because there's no other explanation. Give him that chance. Pray for struggle so that you can reach that point and seek God. I'm talking crazy talk, aren't I? We got plenty of struggle. Engage it. Don't run away from it. If you don't have anything real hard in your life right now, ask God to give you one just for the day so you can practice this. He will, and you'll love it. You'll hate it, and then you'll love it. Because God will show up. I want to think about it like an apprentice. You know, I have this secret dream in my life that I've always wanted to go deer hunting and really learn how to do it. And I don't know what I'm doing. I want someone to say to me, David, here's what we're going to do. Pick you up at 7:30. We're going to go here. We're going to do this. And no, you got to do it this way. No, put this on that way. No, this. Okay, great. Now just, you stand there. Don't move. Watch this. And I just go along for the ride and learn. I'm apprentice to someone who's going to really do it right. When we kneel down, look up, and rejoice always, what we're saying is, God, I don't know what I'm doing. Show me. And God will go do it for you, and you'll watch him, and you'll learn. And there's a real safety in that because it's not dependent on me. You've admitted you don't have anything, and God will take charge of it. His peace will protect you. His presence will propel you and get you to the place that you need and want to be. Can you just imagine what it would be like if we really just took advantage of that resource that God wants to be with us? Sometimes it's as simple as this guy just figuring it out. Watch this.
Lord, I'm struggling. Show me what I have to be thankful for. Lord, I'm struggling. Show me what I have to be thankful for.
You should know. When you kneel down, look up, and rejoice always, you're at the bottom. And when you're at the bottom, there's only one way to look. That is up. And it's in those moments that you're going to find all the blessings in your life. And you'll have immediate joy in a small way. And then God will carry you over the hump into another day. This is good wisdom. I really believe this stuff. I don't believe the Bible is just a bunch of words. I believe the Bible is a cheat sheet for life. And I want to challenge you this week. When you hit that wall, when you hit that spot, maybe if you can come up with a great thing to be thankful for, great, do that. But sometimes the only thing and the first thing you should do when you don't know how to live God's way, kneel down, look up, and rejoice always. He will meet you there. That is what Philippians is about. And that is what faith is about, walking with God. Imagine with me, what if you weren't afraid anymore? Because it was God's problem. What would it be like if you could just pass that stuff off? And your anxiety would go down because, well, you don't worry about anything. You pray about everything. What would it be like? What would your life look like if you took the time to physically go through the process to allow God to take your stuff away? What would it be like if God was always with you? What would it be like if the peace that passes understanding came upon you and literally guarded your heart and guarded your mind, protected in a way that you could not fathom? What would it be like? Do you think you'd enjoy your life better? Try it this week. Find the spot, kneel down, look up, rejoice always. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we are honored that you love us. We are honored that you are willing to be with us, walk with us, encourage us. You teach us in your word. You lead us through your spirit. You bring your very presence. You encourage us with other Christians. Father, we are so blessed. Lord, I ask that today you would convict our hearts not to just hear empty words today, but to go and do differently. Father, I pray that this week would be one step in a pattern. A pattern of inviting people to ask tough questions about faith. A pattern to kneel down, to look up, and to rejoice. To genuinely lay it before you at the foot of the cross, so that we would allow you to lead and we would follow. May you bring all glory to yourself through us and all of our brokenness. May your strength be seen. May all glory be given to you, Lord. We submit ourselves to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask you to make a commitment this week. Invite some people to church. I challenge you to submit yourself to God this week. If there's a way that you need to respond publicly today, there's a way we can encourage you or pray for you. You can grab one of us during the week. You can come forward while we're singing. There'll be shepherds in the back. Take advantage of the resources, because we love you and we care for you. I'm glad you're here. Let's stand together and sing, and we'll be dismissed shortly afterwards.
He is able.